Tomorrow will mark 20 years since the U.S. invaded Iraq. The U.S. ousted Iraq's dictator, Saddam Hussein, but what followed was years of bloodshed, sectarian violence, and of the terror of suicide bombs. Now we're going to hear from the generation of Iraqis that have grown up in the years since. In Baghdad, NPR's Ruth Sherlock spoke with young Iraqis about how their lives have been shaped by the war and how they're now shaping Iraq's future.
U.S. fired 600 cruise missiles at Iraq today.
News reports like these from March 2003 are how Americans learned that the invasion of Iraq had started. In Baghdad today, Hajar Hadi tells me how dust storms had darkened the skies in what almost seemed like an omen.
I still remember that day. The sky was all orange. We would hear the bombs and the rockets being thrown.
I'm with Hadi in a cafe with a hipster vibe. There's colourful art on the walls and young men and women smoking shisha pipes. Hadi was just 9 years old when the invasion began. Now she's a PhD student studying molecular bacteriology and an assistant lecturer at the University of Baghdad. It's impressive by any measure, but even more so given that she lived in a war.
We started taking shelter more and more and no going out. We even had days, specific days, to go grab food and come back.
Most of the time in those early days of the invasion, the family had no electricity. She says her dad would sometimes use the car battery to power a radio just so that they could hear the news. Later, things got even worse.
Most of our teenage years were more scary, like, because you would see a lot of dead bodies lying on the street, or you would fear for your family being taken by a bombing or being kidnapped.
The crowd in this cafe represents the first generation that's grown up almost entirely since Saddam Hussein was ousted. They've lived through the years of insurgency, sectarian war, ISIS, and now a government that's elected but rife with corruption and struggling to provide public services like electricity. Still, Hadi says there aren't many opportunities for scientists.
It's been 20 years and we're still kind of in the same loop.
Other people her age are still working to realise a democracy that's something like what was promised when Saddam was ousted. One of those is Mohammed Al-Tamimi. He was 6 years old when American soldiers entered his grandmother's house where the family had gathered to shelter from the war. His uncle tried to stop them from roughly searching the women as well as the men. At that point, he says, several US troops let him have it, kicking and punching his uncle until he was on the ground. Tamimi says his dad then threw a blanket over his head to try to protect him from seeing more. Through our interpreter, Tamimi then talks about the years that Iraq descended into violence and the failings of the new state.
All this misery situation is because of the invasion of the Americans.
Older Iraqis sometimes say the current generation just doesn't remember how bad life was under Saddam, too. Tamimi recognizes that, but says that fact doesn't make life any better now. He pulls a string of worry beads through his hands as he tells me how he's trying to make a better Iraq. He's a university student and activist. I first met him a couple of years ago during the elections that he and fellow protesters had helped to bring about.
But what happened is it's not what we dreamed about. The American replaced the tyrant regime with worse people.
In a local political office, Tamimi shows me videos he filmed of the massive crowds of protesters in 2019 that gathered to call for an end to corruption. The government response was brutal. Over 600 people died in the demonstrations that followed. Still, the movement did manage to unseat the government and force early elections under a new law that was meant to make the vote a little more representative. If the situation is improving since the time of Saddam, many Iraqis say it's in spite of the US invasion and not because of it. And it's largely the effort of these young Iraqis who yearn for the normal trappings of life found in other countries. We arrived at this upscale cafe and restaurant in Baghdad, and there's a live band playing, and men and women and families. A sign by the door quotes the Eagles song, "You can check out any time you want, but you can never leave." I sit down with Yusuf Abbas. He's 24 and a civil engineering student, and he works as a cake chef to fund his studies. He has this thick, curly hair, a trendy moustache and beard, and smiles a huge smile as he tells me why he loves coming here.
I love the music.
You love music?
Yes.
What kind of music do you like?
Hip-hop.
Hip-hop?
I love Billie Eilish, 50 Cent, Tupac.
Tupac's a classic. Yeah.
Very long.
He wanted to take part in the massive protests against the government, he says, but his father begged him not to go because they were so dangerous.
You guys are like the first generation that's really grown up after the invasion happened. What do you want to see Iraq become like?
He says he wants to see the state not so torn apart by different political parties from different religious sects. He wants a more developed healthcare and education system. And he wants Iraq to be the kind of place that people from all over would want to visit. I ask him if his is the generation that can make this happen. Yes, he says, because he believes his generation is less ideological, less sectarian than his parents' generations.
There are a lot of engineers, doctors, different educated people. They can develop Iraq.
It's an optimistic vision, but one that clashes pretty quickly with reality. Just moments later, he tells me that he, like so many other Iraqis, is trying through the United Nations to seek asylum abroad. There's work to be done in Iraq, he agrees, but the corruption and destruction of this country is so great, and he needs a better chance at life now. Ruth Sherlock, NPR News, Baghdad.